T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
I think I'm wrapping up the show in like 5 minutes. Today is one of those days, as Joe would say, where the commute is longer than the actual show. Good morning, everybody. It is the Midday Show, Benigno and Roberts, and I'm only here with you until 11:30 a.m. because then it is a camp day down in Florida, and you'll get the finale of this Yankees-Tampa Bay Rays three-game series. And coincidentally, the Mets also have a camp day, in which they should just let all the kids run on the field and play for them. Why not? They're going to hopefully start their game at 12:10. Dove and Ernie on the other side. There's a few Yankee things, obviously, big Yankee stories to address. The update on Gary Sanchez, the trade that went down last night acquiring Zach Britton. But I got to start with something that is near and dear to my heart, because it's rare. It's as if you're seeing a comet fly through the sky. It's like you found a unicorn or something you don't normally find, right? But when you get to see a pitcher pitch 9 innings, a part of me just feels happy inside. Now, sometimes I'm not that happy because it's against my team or against my fantasy team or it's not for my team. But there's something special. Come on, admit this. There is something cool and there is something special when you see a starting pitcher walk off the mound and start shaking hands, right? So when Masahiro Tanaka got Matt Duffy to ground out to Didi Gregorius and he starts smiling, you know, Austin Romine comes out, his teammates come out, there is something really, really cool about that. But it can only happen in very special circumstances. And I think last night you got those special circumstances. Number one, and this is really number one, number two, number three, number four, you have to keep the pitch count low. And Tanaka was able to do it. And he was able to do it because he was getting ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. He did not go deep into counts. He did have 9 strikeouts. And obviously when you strike a bunch of guys out, it's not as easy to keep your pitch count low. But this was the Tanaka that, if you're a Yankee fan, gets you giddy. This was the dominant ace-like Tanaka that we saw when he burst onto the scene back 5 years ago. And sometimes we see flashes of this guy, and we do, because it feels as if every couple of months we'll see this dominant Masahiro Tanaka. I mean, of all the guys on the Yankees, you know, Severino's probably number one in this regard, but Tanaka's one of those guys that, when everything is working, could go 9 innings. We've seen him do it a handful of times. And so when you watch him last night against the Tampa Bay Rays making it look so easy and throwing, what, 105 pitches over the 9 innings, allowed to go out for the 9th, good job by Boone even allowing that and giving him no reason to pull him, because Aroldis Chapman had warmed up in that bullpen. And remember, it wasn't 8-0. It was 3-0, so it's still a reasonably close game. You get a guy or two on base, all of a sudden, Boone's going to pop out of that dugout and he's going to pull Tanaka, and Tanaka left no doubt. He didn't put anybody on base. I think he retired the last 7 or 8 guys of this game, and it was just a dominant performance by Tanaka, and this is why when you get to October, and the Yankees are going to be in October, it's just a matter of one game playoff and or beyond, but we know they're going to be playing some semblance of postseason baseball. No matter what you see from Tanaka during the regular season, despite any struggle you see from him during the regular season, You think of a performance like this, you think of what he did in the postseason last year, and that's why you want to hand him the baseball. And behind Luis Severino, despite his struggles recently, he's the guy you trust the most. And he was utterly brilliant last night. And instead of starting with controversy or negative or trade or anything, to me it's important to start with that kind of brilliance. Because as an old school baseball fan, to see a starting pitcher walk off the mound like that with a complete game, that makes me smile. Now, it makes Ernie smile more because he was the benefactor of Masahiro Tanaka in fantasy. I know that made his night. But nevertheless, just as a baseball fan, that's good to see. As compared to the garbage you saw in the Dodger-Philly game, when in a tie game, the Dodgers are going to a position player, which I'll get to later. Now, let me get to Gary Sanchez. Is Gary Sanchez actually hurt? Yes, he's actually hurt. All right? The Yankees are not putting him on the DL. They're not looking at an MRI that's completely clean. And they're not just sticking him on the disabled list. So I do think he's hurt. With that said, it is not an excuse, nor has he made one, for the lack of hustle we saw at the end of the game the other night. I don't think this changes that. The only thing it may change, is the base hit where he came through and he didn't end up on second base. That's the one play you could potentially look at and say, you know what? That one I kind of get. But the reason it's not an excuse for that last play was the fact that he was obviously slowing down and almost stopping before he starts running again. And to Gary's credit, he's not making it an excuse. But here's the question about Gary Sanchez. Number one, how much time is he going to miss? And number two, what is he going to be when he comes back? Because Austin Romine, who I still am skeptical of being a starting catcher in this league, I give credit where it's due. Austin Romine's done a fine job. He was able to drive in a couple of more runs yesterday. He obviously caught the game that Masahiro Tanaka threw. And he's been really good. There's no denying that. He's been very, very good filling in for Gary Sanchez in 2018. Can Gary Sanchez, when he comes back, come back and number one hit, number two, be healthy. I guess number one should be healthy. Number two, hit. Number three, cut down on any kind of laziness or perceived laziness on the field. That cannot happen because now every Yankee fan is looking for it. You're watching him and you're waiting for it. And can he be a productive player? Because this has been a miserable, miserable, miserable season for Gary Sanchez, a year that I don't think anybody could have predicted. So for now, it's on Austin Romine. On a day like today, it's on Kyle Higashioka, who is going to make the start today with a day game after night game. And when Gary comes back, all eyes will be on him, and we'll see if he can find a way to salvage 2018. Because in a weird way, Greg Bird salvaged last year, right? Greg Bird is on the major league roster. He does absolutely nothing. He gets hurt. You almost forget Greg Bird exists. And he comes back and he performs in the postseason. And so for a lot of Yankee fans, when you think of Greg Bird last year, there were actually more positives than you could ever imagine, considering he did nothing for the most part during the regular season. Gary may have that opportunity where if he can come back, and I don't know when it is, if it's a couple of weeks, if it's more than that, but when he comes back, can he have the kind of September and, dare I say, October that will make every Yankee fan forget about any kind of negative we saw from him in this 2018 season. Now on to the trade. The New York Yankees have taken a bullpen, which, without a shadow of a doubt, to me is the best bullpen in baseball. It's tough to debate that. And they have decided to make it stronger. And you cannot blame them for that. Because Zach Britton is the kind of guy who, when he's on, as we saw a few years ago, can utterly dominate. Now, Zach Britton is not the kind of guy who I would term as a lefty specialist. Number one, he's been a closer for the Baltimore Orioles, so he's more than that. And number two, the splits have never really fully indicated that. Not that he's bad against left-handed hitting. Lefties have actually done better against him this season, but it's a much smaller sample size. Over the course of a full season, he's really good against everybody, so it doesn't make a difference. So I don't look at the Yankees acquiring Zach Britton and saying, oh, there's your lefty specialist. I look at them acquiring Zach Britton and saying, here's another ridiculous arm that Aaron Boone can go to out of the bullpen. And when you look at the prospects they gave up, Dylan Tate, who, remember, was the return for Carlos Beltran, who's having a solid season in Trenton, Cody Carroll, a relief pitcher who's having a solid season in Scranton, and Josh Rogers, a lefty who's been in Scranton. Those are three guys who may not have even been a part of this future of this franchise because they have so many prospects that the roster crunch of protecting guys on their 40-man roster would have been a challenge. There's a reason why Ben Gamel ended up in Seattle. So as far as the return and what they gave up, you can't complain. They didn't give up anything of huge significance to this farm system. For the Orioles, look, they need pitching. And they went out and they added three pitchers. They added a right-handed starting pitcher who they may as well call up right now. They may as well call all these guys up. Why the heck not? Where are they going? But they were able to add three pitchers and start to build towards the future. And in the Yankee case, they have taken a strength and they've made it stronger. And there's nothing wrong with that because it is going to be difficult to find good starting pitching on this market. They'll probably add somebody, but whoever they add is not slotting next to Severino. He's not slotting ahead of Tanaka. He's not, in my opinion, even slotting ahead of CC Sabathia. What guy on the market would? Jay Happ wouldn't, in my opinion. Cole Hamels has been a disaster lately. Hey, Cole, if you're looking to get traded, it's not a good idea to get your ass kicked every 5 days. Not a good idea. Zach Wheeler? I'm telling you, I'm glad that Zach Wheeler was really good last night, but the Yankees should not be fooled by him. And even if they did acquire him, again, none of these guys are slotting ahead of those three. The guy they get, and they will get somebody, it's just a matter of who, you know, he's probably your fourth starter unless Sonny Gray turns things around. And that's why loading up the bullpen is such a smart thing. I'm not suggesting that the Yankees are really going to have a bullpenning playoff game, that they're really going to have a beginner. What do they call it again? Opener. I tick Ernie off every time I call it beginner. I just think it's the whole thing is so funny to me. The opener. No, they're not going to do that, but here's what they can do. Whether it's Jay Happ or it's Sonny Gray, or dare I say it is Zach Wheeler, you start them and you literally have guys warming up as the game starts because now the New York Yankees have a bullpen that features Aroldis Chapman, Dellin Betances, Chad Green, David Robertson, Jonathan Holder. Hey, look, even A.J. Cole has pitched well. Give him some credit. And now Zach Britton. And this was a stat that I saw tweeted earlier today by a guy named Cole Harvey, who I think works for SportsCenter. And this was a great stat for the Yankee fans to digest on the nature of this bullpen right now. With Zach Britton, the Yankees have four of the 14 active pitchers with at least 100 relief innings who have ERAs under 2.5. Britton, Green, Chapman, Betances. They're loaded. And let me throw in the other part that makes this deal awesome for the Yankees. You ready for the other part? The Red Sox and the Astros did not get him because the Houston Astros need to add a bullpen arm. In my opinion, as good as the Red Sox are, I think it would behoove them to add a bullpen arm. And the New York Yankees not only scooped one up to make their bullpen even deeper and crazier, but they hurt the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox last night. It's a good deal. It's a great deal. It should excite you if you're a Yankee fan. Now, they'll add a starting pitcher, but again, how are they adding a starting pitcher that's going to slot ahead of Severino, Tanaka, and even CeCe? So for now, Brian Cashman said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this ridiculously loaded bullpen, and I'm going to make it more versatile, and I'm going to make it better. And that's exactly what he did.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.